Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. I'm often lambasted for not brushing my hair, but presumably you don't like the results when I do. I've been looking at the website of Reform United Kingdom, this political party, which is the rebranding of the Brexit Party. And indeed, its website, it even calls it the Brexit Party occasionally. It's got the same logo, different name. The Brexit Party itself being a breakaway from the United Kingdom Independence Party. UKIP still exists, but it's tiny. He's got three counted out of 20,000, led by the redoubtable Neil Hamilton, former Conservative MP. So Reform UK is led by Richard Tice. The big beast of it is really Nigel Farage, who was an MEP for a long time. But Farage has said he won't stand for Westminster. He's stood about a dozen times without success. So that is a bit of a blow to the party's fortune. It was very unlikely he would be elected, but nevertheless, it would garner a bit of media attention. He's got a profile. He's got name recognition. And that's crucial in politics. One of Trump's great assets is he was very well known in the United States for decades before he ever entered the political forum. But back to Reform UK with their arrow pointing to the right, as in the word out of the United Kingdom. So they've got a number of policy areas about reform the economy, reform our energy strategy, reform our public sector, reform our institutions, and so on. Let's make Britain great. So Trumpian echoes there. An early current MP is Lee Anderson. Lee Anderson, for decades, a Labour Party member, a minor trades unionist, and indeed an aficionado of Arthur Scargill back in the 1984 miner strike. A Labour councillor for some years, was under investigation for the Labour Party on allegations of racialism, and then he jumped ship to the Conservative and Unionist Party, elected an MP for Ashfield in Nottinghamshire. And then there were more allegations of racist language by him, and whilst under investigation, he then moved over to Reform UK. So is there their only MP standing in that constituency, which was a safe Labour MP for a long time, a safe Labour constituency held by Jeff Hoon, the Defence Secretary, in the 90s and noughties. So very likely to return to Labour, even more likely to return to Labour, partly because he's standing for Reform UK and the Conservatives are obviously also standing. So Reform UK are at 12% in the opinion polls. Now, one opinion poll has done at 6%. I think they'll go do considerably worse than 12%, because when it comes to it, when you're putting your ballot in the ballot booth into the box, you'll think, I'm not going to throw it away. So their vote share will be more like 8%. Now, the Conservatives talking about this imbecilic policy to reintroduce national service. Its unworkability is plain. You know, the British Army is only 75,000 strong. How can it train 30,000 people? It's got its work cut out training the Ukrainians. There's no budget for it and blah, blah, blah. But that was really a cynical, cephalological calculation, because they realise this is very alluring to people who otherwise vote Reform UK to pull a few of them back. And obviously, the Conservatives know they're going to lose. This is an exercise in reducing the scale of that defeat. But Reform UK is a serious threat, almost a mortal threat to the Conservative Party. We're obviously always rehearsing the parallels with 1997, the last absolutely shocking Conservative defeat. Well, it was not unforeseen, but seismic defeat for the Tory party. And that was the referendum party. Was a big one then, led by Sir James Goldsmith, father of Lord Zach Goldsmith, the Conservative politician. And they only got about 3% of the vote, but that was crucial in dozens of constituencies. So this will be even more so. But remember, the UK Independence Party, they got, was it 12% of the vote, way back in, I think, 2015, and got one MP. That was the solitary Douglas Carswell, who'd formerly been Conservative MP for that same constituency. He lost at the time afterwards. So I don't think they'll get a single MP. But they're obviously much more of a threat to the Conservative Party than the referendum party was. And it looks like they're not going away. I'm surprised they're still there. I said the Brexit Party would just implode some years after Brexit. The raison d'etre disappeared. But they're always banging on about having a proper Brexit. So they appeal to those left behind people. They're middle-aged and elderly. They're middle or lower income. They're lower education generally. They're overwhelmingly white. They're suburban and rural mostly. They're concentrated in eastern England, particularly in coastal areas, economically depressed regions. So these are sort of hardcore Brexit voters. So the impact they'll have is just to increase the scale of the Conservative defeat. So they appeal to some people who usually vote Conservative and to some floating voters. Almost nobody who's usually a Labour voter or a Liberal Democrat voter would vote for them. So that's why it's a big problem. I mean, I know balancing that on the extreme left is the Green Party. For those who express their disaffection and disillusionment with Keir Starmer's stewardship of the Labour Party, because they're hardline on Save Gaza as well as the environment. But, you know, Labour is fairly firm on ecology, whereas, you know, the Conservatives seem to be wobbly on the European Union. So looking over their policies, and you notice how they subtly slip the word reform in there several times. You go through their policies, and as a right winger, obviously, I find many of them appealing. They've got their contract with people, but it's a working draft that could change. But there's a complete lack of specificity. So these are all generalities about cutting government waste. Well, who would be against reducing foolish, profligate spending? And their reforms in the first 100 days, that the Bank of England is no longer going to pay interest to commercial banks on quantitative easing reserves. But if that's such an easy, obvious thing to do, why do they do it? I think the theme underlining this is just insane level of optimism. It's sort of trussonomics. I've never studied economics. Maybe I'm wrong. And they reckon that they can save £5 in every 100. Okay, that they would affect the abolishment of various quasi-autonomous non-governmental organizations and commissions. Being a minarchist, again, this is attractive to me. It's got shades of Javier Milei, the president of Argentina. That's a great idea. We want to have the night watchman state. And so get rid of more regulations. And that they got this whopping figure of 143 billion since 2015. And they would slash foreign aid by 50%. I'm surprised they were not going to abolish it altogether. Okay, so they want a sort of low tax, low regulation economy. So it's a libertarianism. And they would raise the personal allowance to £20,000 when you pay tax. And that's obviously going to be particularly beneficial to the lowest paid. But then you're going to have to slash public services. They're going to get reduce fuel duty and so on, and environmental levies. So that would reduce the cost of living for people, but the price to pay would be the environment would be getting worse. But they're sort of anti-environmentalists. So they would reduce stamp duty a lot for houses up to £1.5 million, get rid of VAT on tourists, and there would be no tax relief, and there'd be no inheritance tax for estates under £2 million. Well, that would be the great majority of estates. So what about the poorest people who don't inherit anything? How are public services for them? So you can see it's a very right-wing economics. So no corporation tax for small and medium sized enterprises, as in those with a turnover below 100K and so on. And the VAT threshold going up to 120 grand. But wait a second, if you're cutting all this government revenue, how on earth are you going to pay for the improved public services? So immigration, they would reduce immigration drastically, allow doctors and nurses in and not many more, stop the boats, and they would leave the European Convention on Human Rights. So certainly a bold démarche. But the trouble is, how about the Northern Ireland Agreement? Is that predicated on the European Convention of Human Rights? There's this belief that you can withdraw from a treaty, and a sovereign state is certainly entitled to do so without there being repercussions. And they haven't thought that one through. They say it's bad of the Windsor Framework, formerly the Northern Ireland Protocol, where for economic purposes, Northern Ireland is still inside the European Union. And they say that's blurring the sovereignty over Northern Ireland. They want to boot out foreign criminals and so forth. They want all asylum seekers to be detained, stop foreign students bringing their dependents, and stop people working illegally, doing more jobs for British workers. But I mean, unemployment is not exactly a problem here. So there's some of the politics of resentment is something that you might notice recurring through this. So they're going to reduce all frontline staff in the NHS and social care staff will have to pay zero basic rate tax for 3 years. Lovely. But, you know, how are you going to get these people? How are you going to pay all these people when you're taxing almost nothing? So that's them. So that's my prediction. But they will have a significant impact on this part, on this election. So a lot of the Conservative strategy is trying to entice people back from Reform UK. Obviously, there are people who are going to vote Labour and Liberal Democrat. They're very sure about that, and they really wouldn't vote Conservatives. But the only party which could lose votes to the Conservative Unionist Party in serious numbers is Reform UK. So that really explains what Sunak's been up to. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye, everyone.